fairly meaty, and I want to give the time that it's going to take to go into it. Last week, we are still in a sermon series called Overflow. The church say overflow. And last week, we dealt with doing better. We came out of Acts 20:35, and we said doing better starts with my testimony. What is my testimony about the goodness of God in my life, even when it's difficult? Doing better involves a warning. Can I give and receive a warning that will steer my life clear of going outside of God's will? And finally, doing better ends with the word. Our testimonies and warnings are great, but do we know enough of the word so that his word, God's word, is the final say on our decisions? And today we're still in this series called Overflow, and we're still thanking God for the ability to give and tithe and understanding that it's better to give than to receive. But I want to talk to someone this morning about what happens when you are expecting an overflow or an outpouring, but you reach a place of frustration. Frustration is an adjective that means it's expressing distress and annoyance, especially because of the inability to change or achieve something. So God has promised, and the promise hasn't shown up yet, and you're distressed. You've prayed, and you're following God via Jesus Christ, and things have taken a turn for the worse, and now you're annoyed. Family, finance, mental stability, health, purpose, the next move, the next business venture, you place it in God's hands, but the flow, the blessing, the vision has stopped, and your frustration is with yourself because of your inability to change things, and with God because you perceive that God is unwilling to change things. And the video that we just watched is where some of us are. We are experiencing our greatest fight, our greatest struggle, our tipping point. The overflow has stopped. The promise is delayed. We got what we prayed for, but it's changed its form, and we're frustrated. And the text we're going to go into speaks the life of a woman who has it all, a woman who gets her heart's desire, a woman who has to deal with things crashing down all around her. And in the midst of it all, it's a lesson for how to deal with life when the overflow is frustrated. We're coming on 2 Kings chapter 4, verses, and everybody take a deep breath. Woo! Verses 8 through 37. I'm going to break it up and piecemeal it. I'm breaking up with, woo, okay. I'll start with 8 to 17. Trust me, God is moving. You will be blessed by how this message is going to go. It says, one day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a table, a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elijah came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elijah said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Right. Anybody ask you to say all that? Then Elijah said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elijah said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. We are in Shunem, a territory north of Israel, and it looks like a fertile plain. Amid this religious landscape, we have our protagonist. Very interesting in the Word of God. She doesn't even have a name, but she is about to bless us tremendously. This woman is resourced. This woman is married. This woman decides to be a blessing to the prophet as he is doing ministry. She sets up the upper room for Elijah, the prophet, and Gehazi's assistant to put their feet up while they are serving God. She is fine in her life. She has money. She's fine in her life. She has her bae. She's fine in her life with what she has, so much so that she's looking to be a blessing, but she is fine but not fulfilled because she's settled. And the prophet, after staying in the Shunammite Suites Hotel, calls for his gracious host and asks these questions. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? Do you want me to give you more settling with influence that doesn't matter or doesn't move your heart? She says, I'm fine where I am. She says, these are my people. And Gehazi puts her business on Front Street and says, she ain't got a son and her husband is old. So then the prophet responds, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And the woman responds, man of God, don't lie to me. I'm comfortable with my life, with my money, with my man, with my land. And that thing that my heart desired, I put it on the back burner. Don't give me hope. Don't promise me it will happen. Don't let that door open that I let my heart slam shut. It's hard to move in the overflow once you get settled. And yes, there is a shout here that later on that year, the woman will give birth to the son. That's the low-lying fruit of the text. And we can give God praise this morning that God can come through and make ways out of no ways. But an even deeper shout that may expose some of us is how God moves after we become settled, after we've given up, after we've thrown in a towel, after we've let it go, after the poem writer says, after we've let our dreams shrivel up like a raisin in the sun, God is still willing to show up and move us from a place called settled. Just before this text, the widow was settled, and she gave up hope for her and her sons, but God shows up to give her stability and more than enough oil. Jonah was settled, believing that the people of Nineveh could not be saved, but God shook up his life and let him know that everybody is redeemable. Peter was settled and is about to go back to fishing, but Jesus met him right where he was and said, get back to your purpose. There's something happening when you stay in the settled. This is something you might want to write down this morning. You have been settled in that position, and just because you heard no to the promotion, you decided that it's not in the cards anymore. You're settled in your gift just because someone else didn't see it, and you put more emphasis on man's voice than on God's assignment. You're settled in your viewpoint of yourself because you have allowed the external view of yourself from others to have more impact than the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's evident that you build things, you're doing things, you're comfortable doing things, but get in trouble, Hicks. Those things are just a distraction. And the prophet said, there's room in your life for what you've been praying for. Frustration happens when I stay in the settled. A settled shark will die unless he or she keeps moving. Settled water in the urban context is where pests begin to gather. For some of you, it feels like you're drowning, because you're not meant to be settled. For some of you, it feels like the life is being sucked out of you because you're settled and the pests of life have come around you, sucking the life out of you. But is there a praise in the house that God has shown up even when I got settled, even when I thought it was over? Are you sitting down on me? There is a shout of somebody in here that when I thought it was done, God still moved. When I gave up, God still showed up. When I thought it was over, God still got a way to make. Come on, somebody. There's a place of overflow. The text tells us you need to keep believing, keep trusting. I know what the economics say. I know what the chronology say. I made that word up. I know what the world is saying, but I need you to keep on trusting him and don't settle, but still believe the word of the Lord. If you believe that, somebody, give God a praise this morning. Your overflow gets frustrated in the settled. Who told you you couldn't? Who told you you can't? If God put the vision in you, who told you it was over? Thank you, Holy Ghost. I have somebody here today that is my mother. Amen. Don't record that. Don't pick up that loud, oh Lord, and put that on social media. Now, my mom has retired for some time now. My expectation of retirement was that my mom would just sit around, bless God, sit around, watch every news broadcast, compare CNN and Fox, know about the political landscape of Philadelphia, want to discuss it every single moment. I figured that was her. But let me tell you what this grown woman does. She is not settled. Every moment she gets, she's running off to ministers' wives, ministers' widows around the country because she said, God still has something else for me to do. Look, I gave my time to the school district. I gave my time to education, but now is my time to chase what God has. Listen, some of you are on the retirement end and it's not time for you to retire. God still has more. God still has something. Even though you're doing something productive, that ain't your purpose. It's time to get out of the overflow, get out of the frustration, and trust God with your life. But then, what happens when the overflow falls apart? We're starting at verse 18. It says, the child grew. Then one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, My head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed out of the man of God and shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God and quickly return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you don't raise my hope? Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your coat into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Our text takes a turn later on in the life of the woman, and after the birth of the son is not a small child, but has grown to the point of helping his father in the field. It's hard to have my overflow when things fall apart. What happened in the text is a shocking turn of events because this son, this promise, goes from helping in the field to having pains in his head, being carried to his mother, and then dying while sitting on her knees. Watch the imagery. The son is old enough, so the promise or the overflow has been working. And when there is a cutoff, when things are falling apart, the child is taken back to the one who is burdened with wanting this blessing in the first place. When things are cut off, sometimes you have to do the hard thing of bearing the weight. This mother holds her son, trying to comfort him, bearing the weight. Not a baby, but a young man in her arms. I prayed for him, and now he's sick. I asked God for him, and now he's slipping away. Did I make him an idol? Am I a good mother? Is God punishing me? When the overflow is falling apart, we have to hold the dream in our hands and watch a million things rush through our minds. Especially when some of us, we just shouted on the overflow and God moving in the settled, and now the thing that you pray for is you're holding it in your hands and that thing is slipping away. We begin to ask ourselves, God, what did I do? God, are you still there? God, I'm sorry. God, if you could just restore my baby, my business, this vision, my body, my family. You start to play the blame game. And you hold this blessing until it becomes cold. And it's just a shell of what you pray for. But I want you to watch how this woman handles when everything in her life starts to fall apart. She lays her son on the prophet's bed. In other words, she has an understanding that something's going to happen with the Spirit of God and her son. She goes to see the prophet. When the dad asks, "Why are you going to the prophet today?" she only replies, "It is well." Tells the servant, "Don't stop." And even though the trip is 20 miles on a donkey's back, she is not falling apart. When she gets to the prophet's assistant, she still doesn't stop. She says, "It is well." And she gave the same response that she gave to the husband. She's not let anything get in her way. The first thing I want to give to you on this part, the woman kept her focus. Let the church say focus. In spite of what happened, in spite of the passing of her son, in spite of her heart's desire, in spite of the inquiries of her husband, who sounds clueless in the moment, in spite of Gehazi, she kept her focus. I know this is not going to go over well on social media, but here's a part. She didn't tell everybody about her troubles. She didn't text everybody about what she was going through. She didn't take time to put it on Facebook Live or the Gram or tweet it or put it on TikTok. She knew what she was promised. She knew she was what she was promised was a blessing. And even though everything was falling apart, she kept her focus. What's your focus when things fall apart? Do you lose it? Do you numb the pain and seek another way? Do you beat yourself up when you know that it is out of your control? When the seconds are ticking off the clock of life, sometimes you don't got time for a pity party. Sometimes you don't got time to post or text. Sometimes you don't got time to explain to those in your circle why you're doing it because it ain't the new moon to go to church. When it falls apart, you need a steely resolve that I'm going to keep my wits about me, and no matter what, I'm going to get to God in prayer. I'm going to fast. My focus may be the only thing that can save this season. The second thing is, she kept her faith. Let the church say faith. What was the driving force behind her getting on that donkey? Her faith. What was the driving force behind getting her servant to go on no matter what and not slow down? Her faith. What was the driving force behind her pushing past the servant telling her that he couldn't even get to the man of God? Her faith. What was the driving force upon her coming at the prophet and saying, "Didn't I tell you not to give me this blessing?" Her faith. If you got your focus, that's one thing, but your faith will take you past every kind of obstacle in your life. When things fall apart, resurgence, you need focus and you need faith. If that is you, somebody give God a praise in this building. She pressed hold of the prophet's feet. Faith, focus, and full submission. That meant that I am discarding everything about who I am. Remember, she's resourced. Remember, she got money. Remember, when he asked, "Do you want me to hook you up with military or the king?" she said, "I'm fine." She sounds like some of y'all in here, because I've seen what some of y'all in here drive. She ain't worrying about nothing else. If you're really going to get to this place when your overflow is frustrated and you want more, you got to even discard all the things that God has blessed you with. I didn't say you're not grateful, but my title doesn't matter. My clothes don't matter. My designer stuff doesn't matter. Who I know doesn't matter. The connections that God made in the other season doesn't matter. I'm grabbing the feet of the prophet to make sure God knows I'm serious about this thing. Parents, you'll understand this. If you have children, you're going to have broken plates in the house. Now, my children haven't broken any. Bless God. Love y'all. My son gives a thumbs up. Amen. I was known to break a couple of things in the house. You gonna stop giving your commentary so loud. A couple of things in the house. And even in my married life, my wife's, oh, help me, Jesus. My wife's nickname for me is Shrek, because I have a tendency to be a little rough with things. I even see Brother Bruce looking at me sideways when I try to mess with the tech in the back. They'd be like, I don't know, Pastor, I don't need you. I did the stage last week. Little do y'all know. Did y'all clap? No. Little did y'all know. So y'all wonder why I stayed up front last week? I did the stage last week. And when I came back here, it was a little wobble, wobble, shake it, shake it. I said, amen, bless God, we're going to stay up front. Woo! But in being a parent, you know you're going to have broken plates. Your children are going to break things. Not intentionally. And when they get older, they're going to break things. Not plates, but all kinds of things. But as a parent, you have a decision you're going to have to make. When your overflow is frustrated and everything falls apart, what are you going to do? We got to move. Yes, we chastise and we have our moments of getting into them and let them know, how could you do that? But post that moment, now what am I going to do? My focus has to be my child needs to be loved. My faith has to be that this is a learning experience for them to get better. God is letting us know in this season, I know there's some broken plates. But what are you going to do after they're broken? How long are you going to fuss about that plate being cracked? You knew that plate was old anyway. And it was time to move on from that plate. It is the season now to have faith and focus and move forward in God. If you believe that, give God a hand of praise. And the last point before I take my seat is this. I must leave this in God's hands. Verse 31 says, Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elijah and told him, the boy is not awakened. When Elijah reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elijah turned and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times. And opened his eyes. Elijah summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she took her son out. Overflow can't happen in the settled. We're past the point of things falling apart. But ultimately, I have to leave it in God's hands. Gehazi tries to resuscitate this child using the staff. I missed it in the text. He was told to do that. But the staff was a facsimile of the power of God. And the staff was not going to do what the prophet had the power to do. Side note, you saw Gehazi's character. He put her on Front Street and he had a little attitude. Probably that was one reason why he couldn't operate in healing. But at this point of the text, we are dealing with a woman who has now got the man of God and now just needs everything else to be done. But she can't do anything else. She's pressed. She's full of faith. She's full of focus. But the healing and the turning around and the overflow cannot happen unless she puts it in God's hands. She's run. She's got the donkey, she's got the servant, she's used the resources, everything else is frustrated, but nothing's going to change until she puts it in God's hands. So she is not in the part of the text where it says the two of them is the prophet Elijah and Gehazi. The woman is outside the door. Some of us are in that place right now where it is not you doing it. You are outside of the door, and you have to trust that the one that is inside of the room is going to work on your behalf. Before you think it's weird that he laid out on the boy, I want to argue for a second that he laid out on the boy to have the full presence of God on the full presence of the boy. The staff was tried, but the staff didn't work.
What the boy needed was eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, and it already happened in 2 Kings with his predecessor. So this wasn't the first time. Many of us want the turnaround to happen, but we're okay with the facsimile of the rod being put on the situation. And God is saying, if you want it to change, I need this closeness with you to turn around what has been frustrated. So you're going to need eye to eye. You're going to need mouth to mouth. You're going to need hand to hand. And then watch this. When it starts to turn around, that's not when you stop praising. When the boy's body started to become warm, the text said that the prophet kept on praying and interceding. Some of us stop when we start to see the turnaround. Some of us get excited and want to lift hands of praise when we see the turnaround. The text says when that happened, that's when he started to pray more. I want to press you this morning that some of you are starting to see the light of day and are ready to sit down on praise or fasting or being serious about the Lord. That's when you gotta go in even deeper. And when he goes in even deeper, the text says that that boy sneezed 7 times. What does 7 mean? 7 is the number of completion. That means the turnaround had already happened. There's a praise in the room for a 7th time. I prayed and on the 7th sneeze. I prayed and on the 7th cough. I prayed and on the 7th go around, then things change. Your overflow is going to be frustrated. Not if, but when. You're going to get that phone call. You're going to get that letter in the mail. You're going to get that denial. And the harder thing for people of faith is that we are trusting an unseen hand to work in our favor. And it just hasn't happened yet. The hard thing for people of faith is to understand God's goodness even in the times of settled and frustration. But I'm here to encourage somebody this morning that when it happens, keep your faith, keep your focus, and ultimately that thing that you prayed for, not the thing that you manifested, not the thing that you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps to get. No. That thing that you don't even want to tell anybody about because it's that dear to you. You know what it is. It's akin to your baby. You love it so much. You've seen it. You see it as clear as day. You've seen the vision. And it either hasn't happened yet or it's happened. And for a season, whew, I need you to hold on. Do y'all hear me? I need you to hold on. And let God take you through this season that's difficult. I struggled with showing that video. Shout out to Brother Don. That's the stuff I watch before I go work out in the morning. Video's really intense. I didn't want to dissuade somebody in this season, because those images of those actors crying is somebody's reality today. Somebody is wiping away tears. Somebody is going to go to their car and still have to put one foot in front of the other. But the text is tailored to teach us. One, don't fool yourself by staying in that place called settled. You ain't never going to be fulfilled there. Interesting thing about the text, she has space for the prophet, which really means she had a kid's room that wasn't fulfilled. Then your faith and your focus. when it happens, have a select few around you that you can pray with. Outside of that, social media is not the place for you to tell everybody your problem. I know. I just went countercultural to those who are younger than me and do not have their follicles that have been whitened by the hands of time. What I'm going to direct you is keep that stuff internal. And it's not even about haters or all that other nonsense that people, oh, you got your haters. I don't care about what the haters say. That's the time for you to lock in with God. And sometimes you ain't got time to text or post. Sometimes, as the old songwriter said, it's me, oh Lord. I got to talk to God. And when what's going on with you? I'm all right. That's not you putting on the mask. You are focused. Because you know I got to get to who? I got to get to him. I got to grab him by his feet. I got to lay aside everything. And when you get in that room and the door is closed and you're frustrated because I want to be the one to raise him from the dead. Imagine the mother. I didn't want him, but I wanted him. And now that he's here, he died in my hands. Let me in that room to go fix it. We would love the text to say Gehazi and Elijah and the woman. No. Not in the room. He's taking care of it. Do I trust that God will take care of what is beyond my control? You can't do it. He has to. Because if you do everything, then where does that leave room for the Almighty to do anything? Says she goes out with her son. And I guarantee you, when she got home, she put the husband out. Side note, brothers, he really made us look bad in that moment. Where you going? What you mean, where I'm going? And then when the boy got sick, why would you take the boy to his mom? Man, pick her up. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a Bible nerd. When I read it, I was like, bro, you are the worst. You are the worst. And my mother, that's what they do. I guarantee when she got home, there was a praise on her lips. And there was a testimony in that land about how her son was restored. How to handle when my overflow is frustrated. Let's give God a hand of praise this morning. As we stand. Prior to this moment, the Lord already told me to have a moment of prayer. So I am going to open up this row if anybody wants to come down. If not, you can pray right where you are. Because this is the time. Because this text spoke to so many of us, myself included, about how to handle that frustration moment.